coming out tonight. And if you do happen to have a question on tonight's story, please stay behind. Or if you have a question how to find the places in the Bible and you know how to read, stay behind. Or if you have a question how you can be sure you can have eternal life, you stay behind. I'll be glad to help you or one of the counselors here. Now, last night, we started on the book of Jonah. And if you were to turn to the book of Jonah, you would find that the book is divided into four chapters. In the first chapter that we read about or talked about last night, we find Jonah fleeing from God. In the second chapter, we're going to find Jonah praying to God. In the third chapter, you will find that Jonah is preaching for God. And in the fourth chapter, we find that he is learning from God. So the book is divided in those four chapters, and as someone else has said, in the first chapter, you see Jonah running from God. In the second chapter, he's running to God. In the third chapter, he's running ahead of God. And in the fourth chapter, we're going to find Jonah running with God. Now, the message that we found out last night was this, that God spoke to Jonah and told him to arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it because their wickedness had come up before the Lord. The Word of God says in the verse that we read tonight in the sword drill was this, If thou forbearest to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we did not know, shall not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth the soul, doth he not know? And shall not he render to every man according to his own works? Now, fellows and girls and men and women, I want to make it clear to you. When God asks you to do something, and as we talked about this week, you are either a missionary or a mission field. And if you refuse to go out and do it, then God is going to discipline you. For we find that it says over in the book of Hebrews, whom the Father loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now no chastisement for the moment seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them which are exercised thereby. Oh, you can be sure that God will chastise you, or correct you, as that word means, if you do the opposite of what he asks you to do. And so we find that God said to Jonah, arise and go to Nineveh. But what Jonah did, he went in the opposite direction. We found out that when he got down to Joppa, everything seemed to be going his way. Why, it was a great day for sailing, and he also found a ship down there that was going to Tarshish. That's where he wanted to go. And so we found out that Jonah paid the fare, and he went down into the ship. Oh, I want to tell you, my friends, when you go away from God's Word and you are knowing what it says, you're going to pay the fare. And his first step, as we found out, was going down. His second step was still further down. And also we found in chapter 1, he had a third step, going down. Oh, he was on a downward trip. And Jonah, he got into that ship, And they got out into the middle of the sea because it was a perfect day for sailing. But last night we found out that when they were in the middle of the sea, the Lord opened up his treasury. For we read there in Psalms 135 where it says these words, that God, yes, sendeth forth his wind out of his treasury. Yes, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. As it says in Psalms 148 and verse 8, God opened up his treasure chest, and that wind began to blow, and it was such a strong wind, those sailors knew they were in deep trouble. Those sailors felt that they were going to die in the storm. They tried desperately to keep the ship under control, but they couldn't. You see, these sailors could not keep that ship as they wanted it to go. And so what they did is they began to cry out to their gods. But how could their gods hear? Their gods had eyes that could see. I mean, eyes that couldn't see. They had ears that couldn't hear. And mouths that couldn't speak. So because their gods didn't respond, we found out last night that what they did is they tried the do-it-yourself method. And they threw their cargo that they were carrying overboard. Don't forget, my friends, what it says in Romans chapter 14. For no man liveth unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord. For this cause, Christ both died, rose, and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. And again, I want to say to you, because of Jonah's sin, he caused problems for those sailors. And you caused problems, pardon me, you caused problems for your family, for those you come in contact with when you sin, when you do it your way instead of God's way. So we find out that these sailors were in great trouble. But remember, the shipmaster went down to find other things to throw overboard. And when he went down, he found Jonah fast asleep. Wake up, you sleeper. What's the matter with you anyways? Get up and pray. The least you could do is cry out unto your God, and perhaps we may not perish. But Jonah couldn't pray because Jonah wasn't willing to ask for forgiveness of his sin. That's what it says in Psalm 66 and verse 18. And so we find that they cast lots. And remember, Jonah was found out to be the guilty one. And when they found out that Jonah was the one, they said to Jonah, "What should we do to you since you're running away from your God?" And Jonah said, "Cast me into the sea." Jonah wasn't afraid to die. He said, "Cast me in." Instead of getting right with God, he was so stubborn, he said, "Cast me in." But the sailors didn't want to do that. The sailors tried desperately, desperately to get that ship under control. But they couldn't. Then the sailors, after they heard about God, they cried out to Jonah's God, and they said, "Oh God, don't lay this man's sin to our charge, and don't let us perish because of him." And so we find that all they could do was throw Jonah in. And when they threw Jonah in, We found out last night as we ended the story that that sea, it became a calm. Yes, the sea became calm. The waves stopped rolling. Now that's a tremendous miracle when you see that the sea stopped rolling. My grandfather was a commercial fisherman on Lake Erie. And this was one of the miracles in the Word of God that spoke to him. Because you see, oftentimes he would be out on the lake and there would be a storm. But when the storm was over with, oh, the waves rolled back and forth for hours, sometimes days, before they stopped. But immediately there was a calm. And these sailors, when they saw what happened, they cried out to Jonah's God again. And this time they made a sacrifice unto the Lord. Yes, they were looking forward to the cross. We look back to the cross. And these sailors, they cried out to the Lord God. They came to know him in a personal way. Oh, the Lord is so gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Those sailors, oh, they lost all of their earthly goods, or much of it. But my friends, they got eternal life. Oh, they got eternal life because they put their trust in the Lord God. Yes? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. That's what it says in Psalms 107 and verse 1. But also we can read those words in Psalms 136 and verse 1, where it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. And Jonah? He was cast into the depths of the sea. And when he was cast into the depths of the sea, why, lo and behold, there was a great big fish that swallowed him with one great big gulp. And Jonah was swallowed whole. Now, there's some people who don't believe in the story of Jonah. But, oh, listen, my friends, if you don't believe in this story that I'm telling you tonight, then you're calling God a liar. Because the Lord God refers to it in Matthew chapter 10 when he says these words. Just as Jonah was in the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the earth 3 days and three nights. Oh, God said that. The Lord Jesus is God. And you see, when Jonah was cast into that sea that was a rough sea, why, it reminds us of Psalms 42 and verse 7, where it says that all the waves and billows went over him. Oh, listen, my friends, when the Lord Jesus went to the cross, he took it all upon himself. All the sorrows, all the sin of mankind, and of young people, yes, the waves and billows rolled over him. And then, just like Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of that whale, why, so was the Lord Jesus 3 days and three nights in a tomb. But oh, the great news is this. Up from the grave he arose, and because he lives, you and I can live also. Yes, Jonah, he was swallowed by that whale. Yes, our song calls it a whale, and the New Testament calls it a whale, but in the Old Testament, it's referred to as a great fish. Now, when we think of it, it might have been a special whale of some kind that we don't even know. But when Jonah was swallowed by that whale, Let me tell you, the first thing that he did when he was in the belly of that whale is that he thought about the Lord. Oh, you know when he thought about the Lord, what he thought about? He thought about how great God's mercy is. And as he thought about the Lord, he talked to the Lord. For in Jonah chapter 2 and verse 2 it says, I cried by reason of my afflictions unto the Lord. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. We read over in Psalm 106 where it says, the sorrows of death compassed me. Yes, and the billows rolled over me. Then cried I unto the Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Oh, he was in great troubles. And he remembered that verse that we have, that gracious is the Lord and righteous and plenteous in mercy. And that Psalm 116 and verse 8 says, thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou also deliver? Thou hast delivered my soul from death and my eyes from falling. No, pardon me. Thou hast delivered my soul from death, my feet from falling, that I might walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And here we find that he thought about the mercy of God and he talked to the Lord. Oh, listen. What he said down there when he was talking to the Lord, he said, I've been cast out of thy presence. Well, that's what he wanted to be. But now that he was cast out of the presence of God, he felt that God couldn't see him. He was gone out of his presence. But oh, listen, my friends. Remember that verse where it says, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places from me, saith the Lord? Do not I fill the whole heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Oh, listen. He thought he was out of the presence of the sight of God. But I don't care where you go, God always sees you. I love that verse over in Hebrews chapter 13 where it says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You can read that verse frontwards. But you can also read it backwards, and it says the same thing. Backwards it says, thee forsake, nor thee leave, never will I. Oh, how precious our Lord is. You can't be out of his sight. But Jonah thought that he was out of the sight of the Lord. He talked to the Lord, and then the next thing we find out that he thanked the Lord, because it says this, but I will offer unto him with the voice of thanksgiving. And he said these words, salvation is of the Lord. Oh my, he had that right. Salvation is of the Lord. And he said, I will offer with thanksgiving, and I will pay my vows. And then we find, yes, that he talked to the Lord. I mean, he thought of the Lord, he talked to the Lord, he thanked the Lord, and then he told the Lord, I'll pay my vows. Well, you know, Jonah, when he was on that ship, he paid the fare. Oh, he did all right. And then he was swallowed by this great big fish that can teach us some good lessons. That's fish took him down. Yes. You see, we can learn from this fish. The Lord says to us, be thou fishers of men. But if we're like this fish, you see, to be a good fisher of men for Christ, why, the fish tells us the first lesson, be where God wants you to be. Why, that fish was right in the spot where God wanted him to be. Then the next thing that we learn about the fish is the fish got his man. Oh, listen, that we might speak to our friends that are outside of Christ. And the next thing that that fish did is he took him down. You know, that's what my job is to get people lost. My job is not to save somebody. I can't save anybody. Salvation is all of the Lord. Jonah was absolutely right. And the Word of God says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but it's God that gives the increase. You see, all we can do is plant the seed, water the seed. I can't save anyone. A lot of times, you know, people try to force people to get saved, and they say to them, you know, the only thing that you need to do is just say the sinner's prayer, and you can be sure you're on your way to heaven. I want to tell you something, my friends, as far as I'm concerned. There's many people who are going to hell because they're trusting in that sinner's prayer. They've never even confessed their sins. They don't even know that they're lost. And until you know that you're lost, you can't get saved. It's your sin that's going to take you to hell. Oh, listen, that's what I want you to understand, just like that fish took him down. That you may understand that you're on your way down to hell until you cry out to the Lord for salvation and confess your sin. And so, you see, the fish took Jonah down. Now, the interesting thing is he paid the fare when he got on the ship, but now he had a free ride. You know, the Lord was giving him a free ride in this big fish. Now, when the fish had Jonah for 3 days and three nights, the Lord spoke to that fish, and that fish had enough of Jonah. And so what the fish did, and it's the next lesson we need to learn, is the fish landed him. Now somebody might say to me, where did he land him? Well, the Bible doesn't say that exactly where he landed him, but I have a suggestion to make. I don't want to be dogmatic about this, but when the fish landed him, I think that the fish took him all the way back to Joppa. The reason I think that for is because, you see, when we go astray, what God wants us to do is go right back where we went astray and get right with God there at that point. Now, he may not have gone all the way back to Joppa. I don't know. But when the fish landed him and spit him up, why, you're going to find out that his color was a lot different, let me tell you. Whether he was gray or green, I'm not sure. But he came out of the mouth of that whale there on the dry ground. Now, this is the shocker to me. After he got out of that whale, the word of the Lord said to Jonah the second time, go to Nineveh and preach that which I tell you. Now, that may not be shocking to you, but it is to me. God was going to give him another chance to go. Why, there were lots of preachers. I often think about that about myself. There's lots of preachers better than me. Why does God condescend to use me? Why does he want me? Why does he want you? But God does want us. He loves us. And God said to Jonah, you go and preach what I bid you. You go to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh, how far he was away from it at that time, I don't know. But Nineveh itself was a great city. It was 60 miles in circumference. So it took a little while, and the Lord God said to him, you preach the message that I give. It was a short message. All he had to do was to say the same thing over and over again. And his message was this, in 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. In Nineveh, at Nineveh, it's going to be destroyed in 40 days. That was his message. Over and over he said it. And you know, if he preached the word, nobody thought that he was a public nuisance. Nobody thought he should be locked up. We don't read of anybody that mocked him or laughed at him. And he gave the message over and over. It was the same message. In 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. And it came to pass as he was preaching it, that lo and behold, there was someone that came into the throne room where the king of Nineveh was, and he said, out there, there's a man that's preaching in the streets all through Nineveh. And what he's saying is this, that in 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. And you know, when the king heard what the message was, for it wasn't long, and there he was, preaching right outside the palace, in 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. Do you know when the king heard that? The king, the first thing that he did is he ripped his clothes to show that he was in mourning, in grief. And then what the king said, tell the people throughout the land to put on sackcloth and ashes. He did. He put on sackcloth and ashes. And he said, tell the people to fast. Now, you know, if they were going to fast, there was one major thing they were going to do when they fasted, and that would be to pray. They didn't fast to get thin. No, they fasted so they could pray with earnestness. And throughout the land, the message was given for the people to put on sackcloth and ashes and to pray, to fast. And he said, if we do this, perhaps God will change his mind and we will not perish. But what he also said was this. He said, I want you to put sackcloth on the animals as well. Oh, you see, it was going to go throughout everything. They meant business with God. They were going to pray. There we find that the people prayed. They put on sackcloth and ashes. And they were trusting that God would deliver them so they wouldn't perish. Oh, listen. The king meant business with God. Oh, I trust that you will turn to God as well. And I like that verse in Jeremiah chapter 18 where it says, at what instant that I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning the kingdom to pull up, to root out, and to destroy, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, then I will repent of the evil I thought to do unto it. Oh, listen. There was a great revival throughout the land. Throughout the whole city, people had turned to the Lord. There was great thinking on the things of God. And people fasted and prayed there in that wicked, evil city. And there was a great revival. You know, that was a lot of rejoicing when people turned to the Lord. But when Jonah saw what was happening, Jonah went outside the city on the east side. And he was angry. He was upset. Oh, listen. Jonah was really mad. That's why, he said, that's why I didn't go the first time when you called me to go. I knew what you would do. You're always gracious. You're long-suffering. You're not willing for any to perish. And that's why I didn't go, because I knew what you were going to do. And as far as I'm concerned, those people deserve to die. Oh, you see, he felt they deserved to die because how cruel they were to the Israelites. And so Jonah, he was angry. Oh, he didn't feel that he deserved to die. Oh, listen, when he was down there in the belly of that whale, he cried out to God. Oh, how self-centered. Remember what we talked about the other night? He had self on the throne. He left Christ on the cross. But remember I told you that the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. Oh, but Jonah was thinking of self. He wasn't thinking of those people at all. And he went outside that city, and he was angry. Now, as he was outside that city on the eastern side, what he did is he began to gather some branches and to make a booth and sit down. You know, the people needed him. They had just turned to the Lord. And here is Jonah sitting down outside the city. He's going, walking around and then sitting down outside that city. Oh, you know, it reminds me of the Lord Jesus who went outside the city of Jerusalem. And when he went outside the city of Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus looked over the city and he said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that were sent unto thee, how oft I would have gathered thee together, even as a chick gathers her, even as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not." Oh, the Lord Jesus loved his people. He cried for them. He wept as he spoke about Jerusalem. But Jonah, he was angry. And the Lord said to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry, Jonah?" And Jonah did a very wise thing. He closed his mouth and said nothing. You know, it's good sometimes just to say nothing. And when the Lord asked him that question, he said nothing. And then we find that the Lord, oh, listen, the Lord showed mercy and grace to Jonah, because what God did for Jonah was a great thing. He allowed Jonah to go to sleep. Now, some of you young kids, you don't think that's so great. But let me tell you, the older you get, the more you enjoy it. I like my rest periods. You see, it's a good thing to have a good rest period. And Jonah, he was able to sleep. Why, in Psalms 127 in verse 2, it says, "He giveth his beloved sleep." And while he was sleeping, we read that what happened is that God prepared a gourd. And this gourd sprung up right over where Jonah was sleeping. Oh, he had a few branches to cover him in that booth he made. But God, oh, he did something far better. Because what God did is he caused this gourd to grow right over the top of Jonah. And in the morning, when Jonah woke up, he was exceedingly glad because of the gourd. Oh, Jonah was thrilled because you see there in the Middle East, it gets very, very hot. And Jonah was thankful for that gourd. And so we find that Jonah got up, spent the day. And the Lord was so good to Jonah, he gave him another night's sleep. And so he did again. He slept again, but while he was sleeping, what the Lord did was he sent a little worm. He prepared a worm. Remember, he prepared that great big fish. Now he's preparing a little worm. Oh, he's the great creator. And he prepared a worm that came and had a little nibble and feasted on that gourd. Why, the Word of God says that that gourd just began to wither up. Yes. And then we find that what the Lord God did next is he sent an east wind. Oh, that wind blew. The Lord prepared that wind. And when he prepared that wind, it was so hot for Jonah, Jonah wished he could die. Oh, Jonah was angry again. Once again, we find that the Lord spoke to Jonah and said, "Doest thou well to be angry, Jonah?" "Yes, I do well to be angry," said Jonah. And the Lord God said to him, "Jonah, you did nothing for that gourd. You didn't plant it. You didn't water it. You didn't do one thing. It's sprung up in a night, and it perished in a night." Most interesting, if you follow the story with me, four people talked about something perishing. First of all, you'll remember that it was the shipmaster who spoke those words. "Get up and pray. The least you could do is pray to your God and perhaps we will not perish." It was the sailors who used the word the next time when they said, "Oh God, don't let us perish for this man's sake." And then the third time, it was the king. "Yes, repent, cry out to God and fast, and perhaps we will not perish." Now the fourth thing the word perish is used in this story is by the Lord himself when he said that that gourd sprung up in a night and it perished in a night. Oh, it makes me think of that verse there in 2 Peter 3:9 where it says these words, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish." And then that great verse that we've been singing, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Oh, God had to speak to Jonah. And he said, "Jonah, you did nothing for that gourd." Oh, you see, Jonah, he was more concerned about his comforts than he was about the people who were perishing. Oh, let's not be too hard on Jonah, my friends. There's many right in this room who confess that they know Jesus Christ as Savior, but you're not concerned about the lost the way you should be. You're not concerned about those who are dying in their sin. Oh, we need to be, my friends. People are dying. And as they die, they go into eternity. Oh, we need to ask ourselves, what would the Lord have us to do as we go from day to day? And so we find that the Lord said to Jonah, Jonah, I have 120,000 young people, little ones, in this city. And they don't know the difference between their right hand and their left hand. And besides that, I have many cattle. Oh, Jonah, I created them. I brought them into this world so they could have life. Jonah, I created them. I love them. But you see, Jonah, he was taken up with his comforts. Oh, I think of what we read over in the book of Matthew chapter 18, where it says these words, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Even so, it says in verse 14 of that chapter, even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Oh, he doesn't want anyone in this room, as young as you are, he doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants you to go to heaven, to the place that he's gone to prepare. And so what he's saying is, forbid them not, that they would come unto me. Matthew 11:28 says these words, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And the Lord Jesus is saying to every one of us, come. And you know, when you spell that word come, it's a great word. What it means is the C stands for the fact that the children can come. The O stands for the old people to come. The M, oh, that stands for the middle-aged people to come. And the E, it means everyone can come. Oh, listen, tonight, you could come. You could come to the Lord and confess your sins and cry out to Him for salvation. And He has promised that He'll give you eternal life. If you've never come to the Lord and asked Him to be your Savior, you're going down. Tonight, if you've got a question about that or a question about anything in the story, stay behind. I'll be glad to help you or one of the counselors here. Every eye closed and head bowed.